Amen. Good morning, church. It's great to see you. Not in here with me, but online. I miss you. And it's great. It was great to be with some of you yesterday during that prayer time, to see your faces and to hear the things that were on your hearts for prayer. It was great to gather. This morning, we are concluding our series in Life in Exile, Thriving in a COVID-19 World. We have spent the past 6 weeks working through the idea that we cannot simply rest in our faith, but we must add to it. We've examined and looked to apply each of the seven themes that we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, to help us as we attempt to live this life in this current exile. Last week, Pastor Chris spoke on the theme of mutual affection. And that spoke to our relationships here within the church. Today, we're going to wrap up this series with the theme of love. Love not as an emotion, but as an action that speaks to loving those outside of the church. Our scripture comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And a lot of you have been working so diligently to put this to memory. Pastor Chris has been working through it with you chunk by chunk by chunk each week as we've been adding to what's in our hearts. And so would you stand with me this morning as we go through this passage one last time. And for those of you who have memorized it, cover up the screen, close your eyes, and declare this with us this morning. You've already got it in your minds. And those who have not put it to memory yet, declare it out loud with me across our city, across our nation, across this globe, as we know that people are tuning in from all over. So read with me this morning. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for this concept, this idea of love. We thank you that you have given us a faith that we can continue to add to. Teach us this morning through your word what this love is to look like and how we are to operate within it. We thank you for a morning that we can gather. And we can declare your name and preach your word. Amen. Amen. So this morning we are talking about a love that is unique. It is not an emotional love. This is the type of love we are talking about in this passage is not an affectionate type of love. It is a charitable kind of love. It is a love that speaks to our actions, not our emotions, not our feelings. This type of love, when we peel it back to the Greek, it is only found in Scripture two times. Here in 2 Peter, and also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This type of love is a love that is created for all of humanity, every part of the human race, even those who persecute us. It says this type of love speaks both to the quantity and to the quality of love. It's deeper than a feeling. It's who we love and how we love and the extent to which we give our love. So here's our big truth this morning. We heard it in that video that started off this message this morning. For God so loved. Love is what moved God to action. It said it's what put Jesus on the cross and raised him from death and rolled away the stone. It's what gave us relationship between humanity and our Creator. It paved the way to eternity. This morning, I want to pick up where Pastor Chris left off last week. And we said this would be a two-part series. Last week, he spoke to the church as a family, and he said that this family loves unconditionally. And friends, while that was a powerful and true statement, that love doesn't stop here. It is not a love just for ourselves or for each other here, but it is a love for everyone. Every single piece and part and person of humanity. When we look at love, we have to understand that love is not only those who choose to love Christ. It is for those who choose not to love Christ. And it is for those who don't know how to love Christ. Though we were each born with a capacity to love, our experiences and hurts from others, they twist that love. It twists that understanding of love. This world is broken, and it's full of sin and hurting people who hurt other people. And Satan is the deceiver who twists all things that are good. This morning, I want to present to you an idea of radical, limitless, charitable type of love. That when it is added to our faith, it causes us, as well as those outside of the faith, to thrive. Can we thrive in this life of current exile, in this COVID-19 season? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about how. The first piece is this. We need to have a radical love. A love that was created for those who are difficult to love. Do you have some of these people in your life? Maybe they're in your family. Maybe they're a coworker. Maybe they're in your neighborhood. The people who are genuinely difficult to love. Friends, they're all around us. Whether you're willing to admit it or not, difficult people live amongst us. And sometimes those people aren't just difficult to love, they feel impossible to love. Take our enemies, for example. People who have wronged us, deeply hurt us, or offended us so deeply that we believe we can never move on from it. I want to tell you this morning that you can, and you will. We read about this in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. You see, often people can be our enemies because they've hurt us. They've hurt us with their words or they've hurt us with their actions. But sometimes people are our enemies because they see the world differently than we do. Whether it's politics or religion, relationships or how they care for the earth, we all have different views. Different views can cause passion points between people. Points that can turn into anger. Anger, offense, and misunderstanding can create enemies. It causes tension, but it doesn't have to, but it does. Let me read this to you out of Luke. It'll come up on your screen. It's a little bit long, but stick with me. I know you can do it. Verse 27 says this, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other. And if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. And then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." The type of love that we are talking about here in Luke 6 is an agape love. It is a love that is committed to the highest good of the one that you love. This love is not a feeling. This love is an action that stems from an attitude. This attitude frees us to act in ways that show God's love and grace to the ones who wronged us. And as we read in Luke, even to the ungrateful and even to the wicked. Verse 27 and 28 tells us to love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Friends, this is important. It is not enough to refrain from getting even. And it is not sufficient to simply separate yourself from the one who has wronged you. Jesus declares that we actively love, do good for, bless, and pray for those who have wronged us. those who have done wrong on our behalf. We must actively do. And when we do, we show them this radical love of Christ that we cannot produce for ourselves. No one naturally loves or does good to their wrongdoers. But this love of Christ, when it is active within us, it empowers us and enables us to do the radical. Is showing our enemies or our wrongdoers an easy task? No, not by any means. It's a near impossible task. It's probably in the top 10 of the most difficult things that Christ asks us to do. But he asks us to do it because he knows we can, and because he himself has done it. I think of those with particularly deep scars from people who have hurt you or done wrong to you. Physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, people have hurt people. But like I said earlier, because of these hurts, we forget how to love. We forget that we have the capacity within us to love. We become jaded and disillusioned by the sinful acts of others. And we forget how to love. Friends, don't allow your lives to be altered because of someone else's sin. God has created you with beautiful, incredible purposes. And don't allow the sins of others to stand in that way, to hold you back, to allow you to live in anger and resentment and pain. Because Jesus calls us to live in freedom, to embrace the world that he has created. Freedom cannot be experienced when we're holding on to and living under the pain and the past wrongdoings of others. So how do we do that? Pastor Kim, how do we practically do this? Well, first and foremost, we forgive. Forgiveness is the hardest piece. It's that first step of movement. Forgiveness is looking deep within yourself at all of the garbage that is in your life and knowing that Christ forgave you, knowing that was there. And if he can forgive you, then he can forgive, you can forgive others. Romans 5:8 tells us that, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've got a picture up on the screen here. Forgiveness creates the good soil that allows our love to grow. This is my vegetable box. Those of you with a keen growing eye, you'll say, Pastor Kim, there's only one vegetable in that box. You're right. There's a tomato plant. And I also know that it requires a cage. I know some of you are going to tell me, you need a cage. I know. I'm not done with the box yet. See, there's still space. I'm still working on it. Most of what is in this box is herbs, spices. I love fresh herbs when I'm cooking. It just makes your food so much better. And so, yes, this is my vegetable box that is filled with herbs and one tomato plant. But I give you a picture of this today because of this. My father-in-law made this for me for a Mother's Day gift. It was a labor of beautiful love and something that I deeply appreciate. But he didn't just build a box and fill it with some soil and drop it off at my house and say, here you go. He built a box and then he went out of his way and he said, Kim, listen, I went to a farm and I found the best soil that I could find. It's full of nutrients. And it's great soil, and whatever you put in this box, Kim, as long as you care for it, as long as you water it, as long as it's getting sun, whatever is in this box is going to grow, and you're going to reap a great reward. Friends, forgiveness in our life is like this soil. When we can base our lives in forgiveness, then the good fruit that we have planted can grow. That good soil that is watered and cared for produces good fruit. In this case, good herbs and vegetables. In your case, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The good fruit in your life can be produced when the soil is good. The second thing we need to do is act. Do whatever we can do within our capacity to do. Do something. Sometimes people call it being the better person, making the first move. I think it's important that we just call it what it is. It's obedience. Obedience to what God has asked us to do, to love and to forgive. He calls us to love the hardest of people and to walk in his obedience and to reap the rewards of what we sow. You sow forgiveness, you're going to reap forgiveness. You sow love, you're going to reap love. Practically, take the first step. Write a card. Seek reconciliation. Pick up a coffee or an ice cream and drop it off at someone's house as an extension of an olive branch. Help a mean neighbor with their yard. Offer assistance or a listening ear. And here's a tough one. Bite your tongue when you'd rather give someone a piece of your mind. Love them. Love them not only when they deserve it, but especially when they don't. Because friends, that is radical, charitable type of love that builds our faith. The second type of love I want to talk about is a limitless love. We find this in Matthew 19:19, a love that was created for those who are different from us. Matthew 19:19 simply says this, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't tell us to love those who are like you. It doesn't tell us to love those who hold the same values and beliefs and ethics as you do. It simply instructs us to love to the same measure that we love ourselves. And friends, for some of us, that's a whole lot. Simply love. If we can love our enemies, then certainly, most certainly, we can love those with different lifestyles, different cultures, different backgrounds, different education or a drive, different traditions or values. As we've seen in the U.S. news again this week, for some it is incredibly difficult to love those who are different from them. People who come from different cultures or backgrounds or have a different color of skin. And friends, it is not okay. It was never okay and it will never be okay. God has called all of humanity to love one another regardless of who we are and who they are. People are people and they are to be loved. Especially coming from a Christ standpoint. If we are to call ourselves Christians, we are to love with this charitable for all of humanity love that God writes about, that he instructs us to live out. May we be people of love who facilitate love through our actions. That we don't stand by, but we act when it is within us to act. Friends, I know a lot of Christians who sadly are completely unable to love people who are different than them. I think specifically, people who they find difficult to love identify as things such as LGBTQ, pro-choice, or atheist. Friends, these are not dirty words and these are not dirty people. These are lifestyles and beliefs and values that are simply different from your own. None of that makes them your enemy. It just makes them different. These people, these are our neighbors. These are the people who are different from us, but the people that we have been called to love limitlessly. Love isn't limited to those who are similar. It is extended to and created for all. When we are willing to push the limits of our comfort zones and push the limits of what we've been taught about how we can love and who we can love, it adds to our faith. And it builds the faith of those outside of the faith. We realize the good that God has created within every single person. That good isn't limited to those who choose Christ. God's goodness is still within those who do not choose Christ. We read in Genesis 1:27 and James 3:9 that we were created in the image of Christ. All of creation declares his power. In Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature, they have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse. Friends, what has been created is all of humanity. Every single person has been created as a creation of Christ. Christ's love is limitless and available to all who seek it. When we love all people, we prove his love to be true. When we deny people of that love, we cheapen it. Our limits in who we decide we can love tells people that they are unworthy of Christ's love. They don't qualify for it. And that is not further from the truth. Each and every one of us is his creation. And just as he breathed his life into us, he is a part of us. Our task, friends, is to love everyone with such great limits that we show them the goodness of God that is already within them. Our third and final piece this morning is a Christ-like love, a love that was created to be accepted. We find this in the scripture that we teach even to our children, because it is the scripture in which we need to put the lens on for our whole life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that to who believes in him will have eternal life." There are two aspects of this radically limitless love. The first we've gone over is that we cannot limit who we give our love to. But the second is equally as important, and it says we cannot limit who we allow ourselves to receive love from. There is a very important give and receive that exists within this charitable concept of love. In order to be able to fully give love, we have to be able to receive it. When we limit who we allow ourselves to be loved by, we cheapen their capacity. We limit their capacity to experience Christ's charitable love. The aspect of giving is equally as important on both sides of the fence. The giving and the receiving. You cannot love someone without letting them love you back, because when you do, it tells them that they are not worthy of loving you. For example, I think of those who have children, but not in the little children type of sense, but in the adult children type of sense. When your kids are little, it's easy to let them love you. They, you know, show up with a whole mitt full of dandelions and they put them on your bedside table. They're showing you love. But as we become adults and we attempt to love our parents back, something changes. And as we try to share our experience and our knowledge, sometimes it's difficult as a parent to accept that, to say, okay, yeah, you know better than I do in this. Friends, if we want to show Christ's true, limitless, radical love, we've got to be able to accept love from others. I know a lot of you, myself included at times, like to be that Superman or Wonder Woman. I've got this. I can do it on my own. I don't need you to take care of me. I don't need you to show me your love. But friends, we are robbing people of the experience of God when we don't accept that love back. I'm going to wrap up here. In a world filled with people who do good for the purpose of posting it to social media, friends, let's be radical in the way that we live. Let's examine why we do what we do and why what we say and, well, why we post what we post. What is our motive in this world? Are we seeking forgiveness just to be the better person, or are we seeking it because it's what God has commanded us to do? When we post onto social media, are we looking for affirmation, or are we looking to build up the world around us, to inspire others to also do good? Let's love people for the sake of loving people, not for gaining likes. When we are standing before God in heaven, he's not going to bring up our likes, friends. He's going to bring up the way that we loved, and he's going to look at the quality, and he's going to look at the quantity, and he's going to look at all of humanity, and he's going to say, where did you put your love? Where was it actionable? Leave the feelings aside. Love doesn't remain as a feeling. It is birthed as an action. For God so loved the world that he gave his son to the world, to the whole world. It was an action. Have you accepted this type of love? As much as you give, have you accepted this love into your life? Have you said, wow, this is an incredible love, an incredible gift? Do you operate in his love? Do you show that love to others? Does the world feel and experience this kind of love through you? If not, today is the day for change. Not tomorrow or next week, but today. When we feel conviction in our lives, we need to act upon it. If we don't, we never will. A couple practicals as we close up. Forgive a past hurt, wrong, or offense. Don't live there, friends. You were never called or created to live there. Befriend a lonely neighbor, or even better, befriend an angry neighbor. My mom would always say, kill them with kindness. And while maybe that's not the purpose, let's love our neighbors. I love the community that I currently live in because our neighbors just want to get to know our neighbors. It is a thriving street where people genuinely love one another, help each other with the biggest and the smallest of tasks simply because of love. Do a good deed for someone with opposing views. Be generous without expecting a return on your investment, and let someone love you back. Don't be Superman or Wonder Woman today. Let someone love you back. We need to show the world this radical, limitless, charitable, Christ-like love if we have any hope of thriving in this world. Pray with me. God, we thank you.